Occupied Palestine is mired in tensions as the occupier Israel puts in place restrictions on the religious freedoms of Palestinians by limiting their access to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the third holiest site for Muslims worldwide. With a call from Gaza for this momentum to grow into an intifada, Israeli leaders are heightening their rhetoric, blaming everyone from Muslim leaders to the weak Mahmoud Abbas for apparent incitement. We discuss that and a lot more in this edition of The Debate. Let me now introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. We're joined by Ms. Hafsa Kara Mustafa, who is a journalist and political analyst, who is joining us live from London. And we're also joined by Ms. Maxine Dorver, who is a journalist and political commentator, who is joining us live from New York. Thank you both for joining us for this edition of The Debate. Mr. Dorver, I'd like to start with you. France, among others, has stated that these tensions that we're seeing play out do not come as a surprise to it. When even allies of Israel admit that its occupation and aggression is only making things worse, what does that say?
The trauma and the tragedy that's going on throughout this area is one that needs to be stopped, and needs to be stopped by good leadership, by positive response of leadership to stopping the violence. The violence is not one-sided. At this point, the response to the violence has made it a double-sided violence. The only result that's going to be is that more people will die, more people will be hurt. What do I say? The only hope that one can have is that this violence be stopped, and that active negotiations, sincere negotiations, be back underway, or be underway for the first time.
Okay, Ms. Kara Mustafa, I put the same question to you. And as Ms. Dorver there said, we need good leadership and we need this double-sided violence, in her words, to end.
Well, yes, but I also note that she avoided the question, which was in relation to what does it say about Israel that even its own friends are recognizing that its actions are actually fueling these crimes. I think there is no two sides to this situation. We're seeing settlers, Jewish extremist settlers, actually attacking Palestinians day in, day out. And now what we've seen in the past few days is Palestinians reacting to this violence that was ignited by the Jewish extremist settlers. So I don't think it's a two-sided situation. It's a situation where the occupying forces, who are already in violation of UN international law, who are already occupying and subjugating the Palestinian population, are starting to face a reaction from the population that they're oppressing. But of course, it's not a two-sided equal conflict. It is, and it has to be reinstated constantly, that there is an occupying force and there is an occupied people, and the occupied people are slowly starting to react. But of course, the level of violence is overwhelmingly on the side of Israel.
Very well, Mr. Dorver, I want to put that point to you because, you know, Ms. Kara Mustafa, I'm glad she brought that up. Some of the root causes of why we're seeing what we're seeing happening across the occupied territories. Another thing I wanted to throw out there and ask you about is also this issue of religious freedoms. You know, whenever there are tensions in the occupied territories, the first right that Israel takes away is the right of religious freedom, the right to worship at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. In what Israel calls itself a democracy, why would you do that?
I think the right to worship and the right to worship on the Temple Mount, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the area that is considered the holiest place in the Jewish religion should not be limited. But what needs to be limited is the use of such religious sites as staging places for violence. When it is reported that Muslim, Arab, Palestinians who should be coming to worship are instead coming and wearing shoes within the mosque, which I, as a non-Muslim, would never do as a matter of respect. But when they are coming and gathering stones in the mosque, that becomes a place of violence, not of peace, as Islam would have it be, not a place of refuge from the traumas of the world, where peace and prayer should be the pattern, not gathering rocks to throw stones. And when the violence is incited within a religious area, That is a very large question. How do you stop those who would limit the rights of all others who in fact do come to worship?
Okay, let me put that point to Ms. Karamustova. What do you think about that?
I think this, the responses here that we're having from Mr. Ver and many of Israel's apologists really is indicative of the desperation, because they really are lacking arguments. When you come out with a story that some Muslims are going into a mosque with shoes and they're somehow trying to ignite violence from within the mosque, I think it really shows the desperation. What we've seen in the past few weeks, but not just in the past few weeks, over the past year, over the past 10 years, in fact, indeed over the past 60 years, we've seen Israelis constantly attacking, constantly murdering Palestinians, and every time they've reacted, as you mentioned, they come out and actually stop Muslim worshippers in particular from accessing the holiest, one of the holiest sites in Islam for them. So I don't quite see what Mr. Ver is attempting to say, and rather trying to divert from the information this week, which is that Jewish extremist settlers are actually constantly attacking Palestinians. Palestinians have started to react. Now, what we've seen in recent weeks, we've seen that Israeli Jewish extremists actually stand outside the Al-Aqsa Mosque and provoke Palestinians every Friday when they attempt to reach their place of worship. Had it been the other way around, or actually Palestinians were standing by the Wailing Wall and heckling Jewish worshippers, I don't think Ms. Dover would be so so respectful of the attitude of the Palestinians doing that. I really can't see how she can turn this situation and make the Palestinians, who are victims of Israeli crimes, seem as the actual culprits. It's the Israelis who are attacking the Palestinians. It's the Israelis who are occupying the Palestinians. It's not the other way around.
Mr. Rivera, what do you think of that? Because, you know, Ms. Karamustova honed in on one thing which I wanted to ask
well,
you,
think,
which is
I
provocation. Go ahead.
I beg to differ about who is attacking who. It's the extremists on both sides who are attacking the other side, and those who are attacked are not necessarily the extremists. Those who are attacked are not necessarily the provocateurs. When you have a 22-year-old young man walking with his wife and baby, and he ends up dead, and the person who comes to try and help him ends up dead, then you have an attack that is an attack on a worshiper who is not going with stones, not going with arms, but rather was going to worship, and he ended up dead. There is a need for respect that doesn't exist at this point, because those who would cause trauma, those who would cause terror, those who would kill, are using religion, and they're not using it for religious purposes. They're using it for terrorist, political purposes. Religion has, in history, been used by negative leaders for political purposes. We in the 21st century should be a little bit more aware, and we should have the ability of the imam of a mosque and the rabbi of a synagogue to sit, and because those two leaders and people in that leadership position should understand what is the value and what is the purpose of religion, and lead their followers away from violence. And the idea that one is more responsible than the other, who is killing who first? And nobody is able to decide where the base is, and it's time to say we are now at ground zero. Let's go forward with peace and with goodness. And there are problems that need to be settled, that without question. We all know that. That isn't anything new. But unless we have responsible leaders who don't incite on either side, who don't use podiums in the international body to incite, this is going to get worse rather than better.
Okay, I just wanted to take a quick time out.
I do
apologize for interrupting Ms. Dover. I just wanted to take a quick time out because our viewers obviously have been taking part in this conversation as well through our various social media presence. Let's listen to some of those comments as they've posted on our social media pages, and we'll be right back.
When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Brief answer to those who question the resistance of Palestine. The root cause of the problems in the Middle East is disunity among the Muslim Ummah. "Please stop killing Palestinians." Palestinians were the only problem. This has to end. Please, Israelis, take serious action against those terrorists. And like always, defend and protect your citizens. Israel keeps getting away with everything. Like a naughty child, Israel is now out of control. The West and Israel disregard Palestinian rights. The world knows about the illegal settlers and what they're doing. How does the Muslim world view the Palestinians? I strongly condemn all terror and violence acts wherever they may happen and whoever does it. USA and UK governments are responsible and must pay for what's their fault. They formed an illegal state in the Middle East, which is Israel, on Palestinian land.
I want to go to Ms. Kara Mustafa now to get a reaction from what Mr. Dovere was saying before he went to those comments. Ms. Kara Mustafa, I'm wondering, what Ms. Dovere there said has been echoed by Netanyahu too. He's blamed Muslim leaders for incitement. How do you feel about that?
Well, one point I would have to agree with was when Mr. Dovere actually says that religion is used by evil people. I would have to agree that the very original Zionists used Judaism to create a very racist, bigoted, extremist, supremacist ideology. And the result is what we're seeing today in Israel, which is people who feel that somehow they are superior to the Palestinians, to the Muslims, and therefore their lives have more value. On a day when we have seen footage of a woman, a mother of three, standing in a bus stop, raising her hand, being surrounded by five armed, fully armed policemen and gunned down like a wild animal, I really can't say that there is two bad sides to this story. Once again, it is the occupying force that is committing crimes against the occupied people. The occupied people are merely reacting. I really think that we can sort of debate this ad nauseum, but the reality of the situation is this. There wouldn't be any Palestinian reaction had there not been any Israeli illegal occupation. And I think that when you look at the fact that the Israeli population continues to vote for the most extreme right-wing politicians, I think it's really an indication of how far the Zionist ideology has spread and is very infiltrating the mentality of the Israelis, whereby they seem to view Palestinian life as unworthy. And basically, what the Israelis are looking at are Palestinians as merely Untermensch. I think it's utterly shameful, and there's absolutely no justification for what's happening. There are no two sides, once again, to this situation. There is an occupied people facing occupation.
Mr. Dovere, you know, speaking about politicians in Israel, I found this interesting today, and I wanted to put this to you. You know, after the stabbing of two Bedouins and two Palestinians by an Israeli, Dimona's mayor told Israel's Channel 10, and I'm quoting him now, that the stabber was a, quote, mentally ill man, end quote. I find that interesting because he's basically trying to cover up and make it okay that this Israeli stabbed two Bedouins and two Palestinians. Is that indicative of the psyche in Israeli society, do you think?
No, I don't think that we are in a position to comment on the mental state of someone described as mentally ill. When a stabber stabs, there is a kind of an adrenaline that has to be driving him, whether it's a 15-year-old or a mentally ill, whatever age this person was. Was this person mentally ill? I suspect he is someone who is reacting to the anger he must be feeling around him and acted without the limitations that a civilized society would put on someone. I can't comment on this person, but as far as covering up, I don't think Israel is covering up. There are certainly Israelis who would agree with the attempt to respond, but the majority of people certainly would not, and you can see it in the restraint of people who are not turning around and going after neighbors. They are neighbors. There are a million Palestinian, Arab, Israelis, not Palestinian, but Arab Israelis living in Israel in normal, regular relations with their neighbors. whether they are Christian or Jewish neighbors. They are part of the Israeli population. They have elected people from elected MKs, members of Knesset, from their own areas who represent the particular interests of that community, whatever those interests are. They are publicly and politically stated and recognized. This is one person whose acts are not forgivable in any way, and who, as do the negative people in either population, needs to be restrained. There needs to be a responsibility on the part of leaders, whether those leaders are the politicians or the doctors caring for people who can be so horribly influenced by what they read in the newspapers.
Ms. Kara Mustafa, I wanted to get your reaction to
that,
because
I'm
a bit confused. At this point, if a politician comes out and says right after the fact that somebody was mentally ill because, you know, there was an Israeli and they attacked two Bedouins and a Palestinian, that to me sounds really odd. What do you think?
Well, how far do we go with this interpretation? Osama bin Laden was mentally ill.
The Bedouin are not enemies of Israel.
Go ahead, Ms. Kara Mustafa.
Well, They are ethnic Arabs, and therefore that would make them Untermensch under the Zionist ideology. I think that if you start deciding that those Israelis who commit crimes are easily dismissed as mentally ill, whereas the Palestinians are obviously evil and terrorists, I think it really shows the double standards with which this situation is treated. I think it's absolutely ridiculous to claim that a man who willingly went and stabbed two people from a specific ethnic group, had he been mentally ill, he probably could have just stabbed the first few people he would have come across, which would have been Jewish settlers like himself. But no, he actually went on to murder people of a different ethnic group and a different religious groups, which were obviously the Arab Bedouins of Palestine. And as a result, I think we can clearly state that this was a racist attack. But obviously, the Israelis having to constantly cover up their crimes, having to repackage their crimes with various definitions, have decided to actually describe this as the act of a mentally ill person. But I suspect in this respect, then maybe the Palestinians will come back and say that the stabbings of Israelis in the past week have actually been done by Palestinian mentally disturbed men.
Mr. Overa, what would you say to that?
You know, when it comes to stabbings and it comes to the kind of one-to-one, hand-to-hand combat that kind of act requires, I'm not sure that there isn't a level of mental illness in most people who stab. Where the differential comes is when you've got a group of five people who organize an attack on a mother and a father with four little children in the back seat of a car and blow the bodies of the mother and father apart. That's not mental illness. That's planned political terrorism. And that needs to be led away from, stopped, forbidden. Can we control the acts of all the mentally ill? I wish we could. I don't think we can. And again, I don't know. You bring up a point. I don't know that these were the first people that he happened to see. If that's the case, they could just as well have been Israelis of origin in Arab countries, because if you've ever walked the streets, there are many, many times when you don't know if someone is an Arab Muslim or a Jew from an Arab country whose appearance is very much the same.
Okay, Mr. Overa, I apologize for interrupting you. We just have a minute left, so I want to give the final word to Ms. Kara Mustafa. Ms. Kara Mustafa, if you have a minute, go ahead with your final word.
I just want to say that the exact same argument can be made of Palestinians. Maybe they just were mentally ill. Maybe they're just organizing some mentally, you know, they were mentally disturbed people who escaped from an asylum and decided to organize in the same way. This idea that you can somehow exonerate the Israeli murderers from crime, but somehow assume and know full well that the Palestinians were noted and were known criminals,
it's
I think just shows the double standards. But I think,
it
is an exoneration when you're claiming to not know what happened to the Israeli criminals, but yet somehow can state openly that the Palestinians were committing acts of terrorism. I can simply argue that the Israelis and the Jewish extremists were equally committing acts of terrorism, and there is no way to exonerate them by claiming that the crime was somehow linked to mental disturbances. I think, but this is the type of rhetoric that really has been used by Israel and Israeli apologists for the best part of 5, 6, 10 years now, and I think people are seeing through it increasingly. I think public opinion is very much shifting in favor of the Palestinian narrative. narrative precisely because now we're actually seeing through the information and seeing that actually the Palestinians are the victims.
Let me
and
ask
the
you
Israelis,
a question.
Despite all their apologies,
Mr. Rivera and Ms. Garbrasabha, I do apologize. We'll have to continue this conversation at a later date. I do apologize for interrupting both of you. We'll have to leave it there for now. But of course, we do sincerely appreciate both of your contributions to this debate. That was Ms. Maxine Dover, journalist and political commentator, who had been speaking to us live from New York. And we were also joined by Ms. Hafsa Kara Mustafa, journalist and political analyst, who had been speaking to us live from London. And of course, viewers, we do appreciate your insights as posted on our social media pages. And of course, for watching. Until next time, have a good night.